shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom again, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud, and I again want to welcome you to our program, Returning to Our Roots. Now, for the last several weeks, we have been talking about the laws of the bondservant. We're going to continue that today. Hopefully, you've been tuning in and keeping up with the progress of this teaching because we're building on the previous teachings. And so today as we begin, let's just quickly summarize what a bondservant is to do. He was to be attached to the house of his master, and not for just a little while, but he was to be attached to his master's house forever. And the reason he comes to serve his master forever is because he's not motivated by fear exclusively, but more importantly, he's motivated by love. And so because he loves his master, because we love our master, we will not want to go our own way. If we love our master, we're going to desire to have our ears opened. Why? So that we can hear and do. We're going to desire to serve him forever. And as I already said, we're not going to be motivated by fear. We're going to be motivated by love. And so the bond servant comes with that intention, with that in his heart, and he's going to come into his master's house to serve him forever. But let's kind of look at that house, because the Messiah makes it very clear that he's the door. We have to go to the door to get into the house. So the Messiah is the door. But the Messiah, in his teachings, makes it very clear that the foundation of this house is the Torah and the prophets, specifically the Torah, what Moses wrote, because most of what the prophets wrote was based and founded upon what Moses had already written. So the Torah is the foundation of this house. The prophets, if you will, built on that, the walls of the house, and then the Gospels and the apostles of Peter and John and Paul, etc., kind of puts the roof on it. But now, when I say that the Torah is the foundation, some people would ask, wait a minute, are you saying that Moses is the foundation? Because I was always under the impression that the Messiah was the foundation. Well, to say that what Moses wrote, the Torah, is the foundation, is not to negate that Messiah is the foundation. Because what Moses wrote and what Messiah said and did are one and the same. So we're not putting the Messiah down, we're not ignoring him. He is the foundation, but he's the foundation because he came and spoke everything the Creator told him to speak. He did what the Father told him to do. He delighted to do his will, and your law, your Torah, is written upon my heart, according to Psalm verse 40, verse 8. So all of that is to say, Yeshua is the foundation because he's the personification of what Moses wrote. What he did and said and what Moses wrote are one and the same. And so, let's hear from the Messiah himself on this subject in John chapter 5 to validate what we're saying is true. Beginning verse 39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And so there's several things that we see in this passage of Scripture. Number one, eternal life is in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures testify of Yeshua, the one who gives eternal life. Remember in Psalm 40, it says, "Lo, I come, and the volume of the book," or the volume of the scroll, "it is written of me." All the Scriptures are to point us to the Messiah, Yeshua. So they're searching the Scriptures, seeking for eternal life. But they're missing eternal life because they're not abiding by his words. They're not believing him. And so you can look for eternal life in the Scriptures, but if you fail to come to the door of the house, so to speak, if you fail to come to the Messiah, then you're missing it, because he is the Word. He is the heart of what the Creator gave us through Moses. Now, it says that not he, but it will be Moses, or if you will, the Torah, that will accuse those who refuse to come to him. It won't be the Messiah himself, it will be the Torah itself. And it will accuse those who will not come to him in the Scriptures. Because if one really believed Moses, if one was really of the mindset and heart to hear and to do, then that person would really believe Yeshua. Because once again, Moses wrote about Yeshua. What Moses wrote and what Yeshua said and did are one and the same. So, really, what Yeshua was telling those people who searched the Scriptures, who believed Moses, or who said they believed Moses, what he's really telling them is, you don't believe Moses. You really do not have a grasp on what Moses is saying, because if you did, you would believe me. Because you see, I'm coming to fulfill these things that Moses wrote. I'm coming to make them full of meaning. I'm coming because my ears are opened. I know what the Father's intent is. I know what the Father's heart is. And I'm coming to make them full of meaning so that your ears can be open too. But if you're going to refuse what I say, then in actuality, you're refusing what the Father intended. And so consequently, you don't really believe Moses. So now we come to this question. What does it mean to believe? What does he mean when he says to believe? Because the devils believe in God and they tremble. But there's something that distinguishes their kind of belief and the belief that you and I are to have. And so we're going to look at the Hebrew word for faith or to believe, and that's the word emunah. Emunah. And it's spelled Aleph, Mem, Vav, Nun, He. Emunah. And the root of this particular word is the word aman. Or we would say, amen. So let that kind of sink in. When we say amen, that's actually a Hebrew word. And it literally means, so be it. And the idea behind the word amen is this. You've heard something, it touched your heart, it motivated you, and so you say, amen, so be it, which is really saying this. I heard something, now I'm going to do that. I heard something that has challenged me, and now I'm going to meet the challenge. I've heard something that's changed me, and now I'm going to walk in that change. You're hearing and you're doing. That's the idea behind the word amen, which gives us the word emunah, which is really the word for believe or faith. Now, let's read about faith, because in the Western world, faith is such an abstract term. It's a gray area for people in the Western world, but it's not so in the Eastern world, or specifically in the biblical culture. Faith is something very concrete. So let's read what Paul has to say about faith in Romans 10, verse 17. He says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when we think of hearing, you know, we just think about hearing the words. But if you've been watching these programs, then hopefully you understand that hearing is more than just picking up on the sound waves. Hearing is internalizing these things. You can't have faith by just hearing the words audibly and intellectually understand that that person's saying this. That's not how faith comes. Faith doesn't come necessarily by the intellect. Faith is one of those things that can only be understood with the heart. And so to hear the word of God that's going to produce faith means that the Word of God has got to be internalized. That means that my ears have to be open. I need to hear with my heart. I need to understand these things internally. They need to become a part of who and what I am. So that hearing, once again, is not just to say, well, I heard this guy say this from the Bible, and so now I've got faith. No, it doesn't work that way. There were many, many people who heard the words of the Messiah, and yet, again and again, he says, to him who has an ear, let him hear. Indicating to me that there are a lot of people who were hearing the words he was speaking, but there were few who were hearing the message he was bringing. So that is what we're talking about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And something else we need to keep in mind, going back to an earlier program. When the word of God comes, it will not come to appease or to appeal to the flesh. It will come to challenge the flesh. It will come to offend the flesh. It comes to provoke us to die to our flesh and to our will and to our way. And so once again, the hearing of the Word of God can't be just with the mind. It can't just be with the intellect, because actually that gets into the soul and the consciousness of the man, which is very closely related to the idea of the flesh. The hearing of the Word of God has got to penetrate our hearts, and it's got to provoke us to die to ourselves. Therein is where faith is going to come forth. Now, let's read something else that Paul wrote, and this is in Romans chapter 2, verse 13. He says this, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." Now, I think it's really important that we take note of who wrote that. Paul wrote that. And that's important because Paul, over the years and over the centuries, has, I believe, been grossly misunderstood. Because a lot of people believe that Paul was against the law or against believers in the Messiah following what Moses wrote. Frankly, I don't think anything could be further from the truth. And we're not here to debate that today, but here's one scripture that we would use to argue the point that Paul wasn't against us keeping the law. He was against us trusting in our own abilities to save ourselves. He was against religion as being the way that we are redeemed and are considered to be guiltless before the Creator. That's what he was against. But he wasn't against keeping God's commands. And he says here, it's not just the hearers of the law who are justified in the sight of God, but it's the doers of the law. And so if he was totally against the law and said that we as believers have nothing to do with the law of Moses, then why does he say this, that if you want to be justified in the sight of God, don't just hear the Word of God. Don't just hear the law of God. Don't just hear what Moses wrote, but do what Moses wrote. Do it. But in doing it, hear it. Meaning, don't just do the outward stuff and not internalize what's most important. And again, the theme that's been going through the Scripture from beginning to end is this. God is looking for people who will do what He asks them to do, whether they understand why, how, when. They'll do it because He asked them to do it, because it's motivated by love, trust in Him. They want to be His servants. They want to please Him. That's why they do it. It's not because they have to understand the whys and the hows. It's because all they have to understand is, this pleases You. This is what I'm going to do. And I would suggest to you that when we walk in that, then the understanding of the hows and the whys follows in its appropriate time. But once again, Paul is saying that we can't just be hearers of the law of God, that we've got to be doers of the law of God. Let's read from James chapter 1. He says this, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so there's a few things, a few comments I'd like to make on this. Of course, this is not Paul, but James, who says that we can't just be doers of the word and not hearers only. Or, excuse me, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if we're just going to hear it and not do it, what does he say? We're deceiving ourselves. We get a good look at what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like, if you will, to the world. But then if we're just going to hear it, we're going to be like that person that walks off and you forget what you're supposed to look like. Because you're not doing the things that you were told to do. You're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not functioning in the design and will of the Creator for your life, because you haven't internalized these things to understand that what's most important is, not only do I hear Him, but I do it, and I do it because that pleases Him, because that's the person I'm supposed to be to everybody else. And so notice that he says, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. He's going to continue in this. He's not going to be a forgetful hearer, but he's going to be someone who does what God asks him to do. This person is going to be blessed in everything he does. And you remember in Psalm 1, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be the tree planted by the rivers of water whose leaf does not fade, but prospers in all that he does, then you've got to be the one who delights in his law, in his Torah, and who meditates upon it night and day. You see, well, we're not supposed to be under the law. No, we're not. But we're supposed to be followers of God's instructions. We're supposed to, if we love him, keep his commandments. A lot of people are under the misconception. The New Testament is all we have to adhere to. Well, even if that were true, which I disagree, but even if that were true, then a New Testament writer, James, here says that if you look into the perfect law of liberty, if you continue in it and do the work, that if you are not just a hearer of the word, but you're a doer of the word, that you're going to be the person that's blessed and you're going to be the kind of person that prospers. And when James wrote this, there were no Gospels. There was no Acts of the Apostles, no book of Revelation, no letters from Paul. There wasn't a New Testament. And so when he referred to being a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. He was talking about Moses and the prophets. He was talking about the so-called Old Testament. So all of that is to say, ladies and gentlemen, we ask the question, what does it really mean to believe? What does it truly mean that when I say I believe God? The Hebrew word is emunah, once again, and it comes from the word aman, which means so be it. I hear something, and now I'm going to do it. And so then, the answer to the question is this. To truly believe is to hear and to do. To believe Yeshua, in other words, is to believe what Moses wrote. To hear what Moses wrote, and to do what Moses wrote. Let me read something else to you, and this comes from Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. And beginning in verse 23, it says, "And being in torments in Hades," that is this rich man, "he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." And so to kind of put this in context, it's a story. By the way, I don't believe a parable because it doesn't say that it's a parable. But a story, and I believe something that actually happened, about a rich man who fared sumptuously and a poor man, Lazarus, who begged at his gate and who was so deprived and so sick that dogs would lick his sores. And of course, the story, both men die. And Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom, the rich man goes to Hades. And so that's where we picked up when we read. But again, I don't believe it's a parable. I believe that it is a story. Now, here is the main point of the story. He says that the rich man desires, if Lazarus can't come and dip his finger in water to cool his tongue, that at least send him back to my brothers. Let him go back from the place of the dead, go back to my father's house and speak to my five brothers and warn them, testify to them, so that they won't come to this place of torment. And here's what Abraham says. Can't do that. Can't do that. And besides, they have Moses and the prophets. Or let's put it this way. They have the law, the Torah, and the prophets. And so they need to hear what Moses wrote, and they need to hear what the prophets have written. He said, but Father, if you send someone back from the dead, they'll believe that person rather than or more than Moses and the prophets. And then this is what Abraham said. No, look, they have Moses and the prophets, and if they won't believe what Moses wrote, and if they won't believe what the prophets have written, they won't believe one who is risen from the dead either. Now, the importance of this for you and me is to understand that the one who's telling us this story is the one who is going to rise from the dead. And so what is he saying? That is the Messiah, Yeshua. He's saying, even if one rises from the dead, and he would rise from the dead, if they're not going to believe Moses, if they're not going to believe the prophets, they're not going to believe the one who rises from the dead either. The reason we were bringing this out, folks, is that house that we want to go and serve in, the foundation is the Torah, which is to say the foundation is the Messiah. They are one and the same. And so the Messiah says this very clearly in Luke 16, that if you don't believe Moses, you don't believe the Messiah either. And it really doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. What matters is what you do. Because if you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer of the word, then you're like that person who forgets what kind of a man he is. And it's really important that we understand what kind of men and women we are to be. We are to exemplify his will and his purposes in this world. And so we can't just be hearers. We have to be doers of that word. And so again, he makes it very clear. If you don't believe what Moses wrote, and what does it mean to believe? It means to hear and to do. But if you don't believe Moses, you don't believe me either, even though he is risen from the dead. Because you see, you can't take away from the Messiah what Moses wrote, and you can't extract the Messiah from what Moses wrote, because the Messiah is the personification of what Moses wrote. So when we discard what Moses wrote, and we discard anything that comes before Matthew, we're throwing out the Messiah as well, because he came to make these things full of meaning. And so it's with all that understanding now, it's very interesting to ask this question that the Messiah asked in Luke chapter 18. Here's what he said in verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You see, the children of Israel told Moses to tell God, whatever the Creator says, we will hear and we will do. But they were motivated by fear. And as soon as the moment had passed, when things were not going the way they expected them to go, they ended up making a golden calf and saying, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. They showed what was truly in their hearts, because it had not been written upon their hearts. They didn't really believe what Moses said. And so as we come on down through history, we see that people don't really change. They're kind of doing the same thing they've always done. In the Messiah's day, there were people who say, well, I believe Moses, but I reject what you say. Well, he made very clear, well, if you're rejecting what I say, you're rejecting what Moses said, because Moses wrote about me. And if it was true then, it's true now. If we reject what Moses said, we reject what the Messiah said. We can't have it both ways. That's per the Messiah's words himself. And so, what does it mean to be a bondservant? It means to be willing to be one who, regardless of whether I understand all the different components and whether I understand the whys of, you know, the reason you're asking me to do these things or not do those things, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, do I have a heart of a servant? Do I have a heart that says, you know what, I love you, my master, and my most important mission in life is to do what pleases you, whether I understand it or not. To be a humble and a willing vessel to submit my will to your will. You see, the servant doesn't go into the house and start saying, I'll do this and I'll do this, but I don't do this and I don't do that. And unless you help me understand why I should do it, then I'm not going to do that. That's not what a servant says. A servant says, thank you, Master. Thank you for freeing me from my bondage of slavery. Thank you for allowing me to come in to be part of your house and to partake of your household. And I'm so grateful. All I want to do is serve you. That's all I want to do, is submit my will to your will. That's what a servant says. And you and I are called to be servants. That's what the Messiah came to demonstrate to us, that this is what the Creator is looking for in His people. He didn't come away to do away. Excuse me, let me say that again. He didn't come to do away with all God's instructions. He came to make them full of meaning, to open our ears so that we can understand what these instructions were all about. And not to be saved, but as a demonstration of the fact that we are saved.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.